Happy New Year! It's New Year in September because today is the first day of the Jewish New Year. It's a day that is known in the Bible as the Feast of Trumpets. Let me read you something from Leviticus 23. It'll explain what's going on here. By the way, we are going to have a Bible study in the book of Acts tonight. But before we do that, we just want to touch on this because it happens, well, on today. So we might as well kind of take a look at it, honor it here. Leviticus 23, verse 23. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord." If it seems a little strange to have a new year in September, then you need to understand that the Jewish people had two calendars. They had a civil calendar and a religious calendar. So the religious calendar, of course, would start in spring with the Feast of Passover. The civil calendar started later in the seventh month, the first of Tishri. And that's what it is today on the Jewish calendar, the first day of the month of Tishri. This year, that falls on our calendar on September 8th and 9th. The day began at sunset yesterday, and it goes to sunset today, which I think is about 7:20, so we'll be just fine with this. It was a day of offerings to the Lord. They would offer a bull, a ram, a kid goat, seven lambs. It was also a day of blowing of trumpets, a memorial for the Lord. Not too long ago, we were in the book of Ezra, and Ezra actually, chapter 3 takes place on the first of Tishri, on the day of the Feast of Trumpets. Ezra chapter 3, verse 1 says this, "And when the seventh month had come, and the children of Israel were in the cities, the people gathered together as one man to Jerusalem." And down in verse 6 it says, "From the first day of the seventh month, they began to offer burnt offerings to the Lord. The foundation of the temple of the Lord had not yet been laid." So as we did our study in the book of Ezra, we saw the children of Israel returning to the land. We saw that they were there on that first day of Tishri, the first day of the seventh month, and they celebrated the Feast of Trumpets. We don't have any trumpets here today. We have food. We're looking at kind of a traditional, modern-day observance. Of course, they would have celebrated it with trumpets. There would have been a blowing of trumpets, the shofar. Let me see if I remember it right. One long blast, three short blasts, nine short blasts, and then one long blast. So it was a day celebrated by the blowing of trumpets. Of course, with the destruction of the temple in 70 AD, all that changed because there was no place to offer sacrifices. There was no place for the priests to stand and blow the trumpets. They still blow the shofar today in the synagogue. But there was a change that happened. And along about 150 AD, they realized that in order to continue with the Feast of Trumpets, they were going to have to make some changes. And so they did. The synagogue service was changed, the liturgy of the day was changed, and in around about 150 AD, it became known as Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year. So when you think of Jewish calendars, you have to really think of two of them, a religious one that begins in the spring with Passover, a civil calendar that begins in the fall, this year, September 8th, beginning with the first of the fall feasts. This celebration of Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, really begins a period of 10 days running from Rosh Hashanah to the Yom Kippur, which is coming up here shortly. Those are called the Days of Awe, primarily because of a belief that the Jewish people had that on this day the books of life were opened. And they identified three books of life. There was a book of life for the wicked, a book of life for the righteous, and a book of life for those who are in between. That's kind of an interesting place to be, isn't it? If your name was written in the book of life of the righteous, well, God had found you worthy and you were going to live forever. If your name was found in the book of the life of the wicked, you were found unworthy and you would die. If your name was found in the book of life of the in between, then you weren't quite bad enough to go to hell, but weren't quite good enough to live forever. So what you had was 10 days. You had 10 days, a chance to repent, a chance to turn from your evil works and to do good works. With the sacrificial system gone, they couldn't come to God by sacrifices, so now they began to come to God based on their good works. These 10 days of awe were the last chance for the Jews to repent and to live. And they would greet each other on this day with the greeting, and I'll probably mangle this, but I'll try it anyways. Lashana Tova Tika Tuva. May you be inscribed. Of course, the full meaning would be, may you be inscribed in the book of life. So what we're kind of commemorating here today is a day which the Israelis would look at as the beginning of the civil year, as the beginning of the days of awe, as a chance to repent and be right before God and do good works and have your name inscribed in that book of life. It was a time of repentance. It began a 10-day period of repentance and sincere asking for God's forgiveness. But it was also a time of joy. Today it's become even more so. Observant Jews will send New Year's cards back and forth to each other with the greeting inside, Shana Tova, which means good year. It's not talking about tires. It's really their way of saying Happy New Year, a good year to you. May this be a good year. May you truly be inscribed in that book of life. They would forego the eating of certain fruits for a period of time before the holiday because the belief was that fruit that was not eaten became sweeter when you finally got around to eating it. And so they would take something like apples or pears or grapes and just forego eating them until today. And that explains the apples on the table. We have an assortment of things here. We have some apples and honey. And, of course, they would take the apples and dip the apples in the honey. We'll have a chance to do that. Kim made something. I don't know what it is. Do you know what it is? Does it have a name?
Yes, I'm sure it does, but I don't know what it is.
We'll call it Bruce tonight.
It's dates and almonds and coconuts.
Dates and almonds and coconuts, all mashed together, so kind of another sweet fruit kind of treat thing. And in the center is a challah bread. Now, if you've ever been to a Shabbat dinner, if you've ever been to one of Zaina's, you know those challah breads come out, and they're kind of like a braided oval. And there's two of them. Tonight there's one, and it's round. And the idea is that it symbolizes a crown. It kind of commemorates the kingship of God, because Rosh Hashanah was believed by the Jews to be the day on which the earth was actually created. So they actually do start counting their calendar from the creation and counting forward. So that would symbolize the crown that God wears as King of the universe. So all the good things would be on the table. They would enjoy them. And then enter into a period of repentance and seeking forgiveness. Rosh Hashanah is the first of the fall feasts. Now, we've done a study on the feasts of Israel, and one of the things we've seen is that the feasts of Israel were divided into spring feasts and fall feasts. The spring feasts, there were four, starting with the feast of Passover, and each one of those feasts was fulfilled by Jesus Christ at his first coming. So if you saw something like that happen, if you saw the Lord being offered as our Passover lamb, and you saw it done on the Passover, and you saw all the rest of the spring feasts fulfilled in the first coming of the Lord, what might you suspect would happen at the second coming of the Lord? You would expect that the fall feasts would be fulfilled by the second coming of the Lord. Now, there's two schools of thought on this. One school of thought says that the feasts of Israel, the feasts of God given to Israel by God, have only to do with Israel. They have nothing to do with the church. They are part of the prophetic calendar of God's workings with Israel, and they only deal with Israel. For those who believe that that is true, the trump is the trump that is blown after the tribulation is over. Let me take you to Matthew 24, read you something there. Matthew 24, verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. Then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and he will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. And so for those who believe that the feasts only have to deal with God's workings with the nation of Israel, this is his fulfillment of promises to them, they see this trumpet being blown at the return of the Lord, the second coming to the earth. And this is the time when God gathers the Jews together from the four corners. Other people believe that, yes, it has to do with Israel, but the church gets included. Because if you look at the Feast of Pentecost, you'll see that the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church on that day. So some believe that the church is included in these fulfillments. If you're in that camp, then 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is for you. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 15, reads this way. For this we say to you, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. Paul was writing to encourage people to know that they had not missed the rapture. There were some who looked at the things that were happening in Paul's day, saw the great tribulation and persecution coming against the church. They thought they'd entered the tribulation period and missed the rapture. But he says, no, it's not that way. He says, we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. And so if you're in that second camp that believes that the feasts of God really concern the nation of Israel, but the church is included in those fulfillments, then you see this not as a post-tribulation thing, but a pre-tribulation thing. The Lord descends with a trump. We hear the sound of the trump. We go up. We're with the Lord forever. And of course, then that begins a period of time on earth known as the tribulation. Let me read you this from the book of Amos. The book of Amos here talks about something called the day of the Lord. And of course, as Christians, we look forward to the day of the Lord. But of course, for those who are not believers, the day of the Lord becomes something else altogether. And in Amos chapter 5, verse number 18, we read this. Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. For what good is the day of the Lord to you? It'll be darkness and not light. It'll be as though a man fled from a lion and a bear met him. Or as though he went into the house, leaned his hand on the wall, and a serpent bit him. Is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light? Is it not very dark with no brightness in it? And so if you're in that second camp that believes that the feasts, yes, have to do with the timetable that God has set for the nation of Israel, but the church is included in this now, you see this as a pre-tribulation blowing of the trumpets. Begins the rapture of the church, but then the world that is left, God pours out his wrath on that Christ-rejecting world in an effort to draw them to himself and wake them up. They have 7 years. It's a day of darkness and not of light, which is kind of interesting because the Feast of Rosh Hashanah is one of the only feasts that Israel has that doesn't begin on a full moon. It begins on a new moon, on the dark of the moon. Remember Passover? It began on the full moon because the children of Israel needed light as they walked out of Egypt to see where they were going. Well, this feast is always held on the new moon, on the dark of the month. Whether you find yourself in the Israel-only camp or in the Israel but church-included camp, one thing that pertains to both of us is found in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse number 20. Ezekiel wrote these words. The Lord had inspired him. You can tell because this is the Lord's heart revealed to us. And Ezekiel 18:20 reads this way. The soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. But if a wicked man turns from all his sins which he has committed, keeps all my statutes, and does what is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. And so today, being the last part of the day of Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year, observant Hebrews everywhere are entering into prayer, asking for God for forgiveness, trying to make up by their works what they have lacked before. Of course, we have a little extra insight into this. We know that our lack was completely made up by Jesus. And when a man turns to him, all his sins are washed away. And though his sins were as scarlet, he is made as white as snow. But we can certainly join with the with our Hebrew brothers and sisters and say, we recognize that this is a day of importance to you. We recognize that this is the beginning of the days of awe. We would be glad to share with you the good news of someone who can really wipe your sins away. And we can say with them, Shana Tova, good year. May you have a good year in Jesus Christ. So what we're going to do right now is just take a few minutes. We have plates and napkins up here. You can help yourself to some apples. Get a little dollop of honey on your plate. Take some of the challah. If you've not had Zena's challah, oy, you're going to have challah tonight. And Bruce, Kim brought Bruce, whatever that is. That's there too. So help yourself to some of these things. We'll help ourselves, then we'll get into the Acts Bible study. Go ahead and press pause on that now.